بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد This is the fourth pillar of Islam, fasting, the month of Ramadan. The fasting is a common ibadah from the time of Adam alayhi salam all the way to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. When Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam got succeeded from the flood, he commanded to fast his ummah. Likewise, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he got freedom from the Firaun, he fasted. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Zakaria alayhi salam, Suleiman alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, the Sawmi Dawood is famous, he used to fast the whole year continuously. Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam, all the prophets used to fast, but the days and time period and ahkam were different. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu also used to fast in Makkah Mukarramah from the beginning period of Islam. At that time, Yawm Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, was a compulsory obligatory fast every year, one fast. And like 3 days a month, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast. Mondays and Thursdays, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast. Then, when he migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, in second year after the Hijrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in the Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum siyam kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun, that oh who you believe, the fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so you may obtain piety and taqwa. This is the main reason of fasting, that we must obtain self-discipline, self-control and piety and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned one of his famous hadith, man sama ramadana imanu wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambihi, aw kama qal, that whoever fast the whole month of Ramadan, two conditions, with iman, full conviction, and ihtisab, meaning hoping and believing that because of the fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward. This conviction should be in his heart. So if he fast with the iman and ihtisab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, his all sins of past will be forgiven. So this is the benefit of fasting. And as I said, it teaches us self-control and cut off our carnal desire. And it shows the sympathy for the poor and less fortunate people. Because when you're going through and you are experiencing hunger and thirst, you realize how about those people who fast the whole year, like Gaza, Afghanistan, poor countries, Burma, they have no food. So for them, is Ramadan is every day. They have not food. So when we fast during the month of Ramadan, we feel that pity of the poor and destitute people. Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala said in one of the hadith, there are three changes took place during the fasting. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madinah Munawwara, he used to fast 3 days of every month and Yawm Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Then in the second year of the Hijrah, after Hijrah, this ayat was revealed, Kutiba alaykum siyam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the whole month of Ramadan compulsory fasting for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this Ramadan fasting was not given to any other nation, any other ummah before the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole month of fasting is a special gift given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only exclusively to this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when this ayat was revealed, now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for us the whole month of Ramadan is fasting, obligatory fasting. Now the Yawm Ashura is no more obligatory fasting, is optional fasting. If those who want to keep still every year 10th of Muharram, they can fast. But it's not obligatory. It is the nafal fasting. So this first change. Initially, it was given a choice to the people that whether you fast or you give charity. If you don't want to fast, is okay. Give some money to the poor people. Your giving money to the poor people will be consecrated your fasting. You want to have any sin.
So that was the option. So some of the people, but then Rasulullah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but fasting is better than giving the charity. But they were given the choice. So some of the Sahaba and Muslims, they used to fast, and some of them, they used to give the money, fidya. Then the third ayat was revealed, Man shahida minkum ash-shahra falyasum. That whoever witness or get the news of the moon sighting of the month of Ramadan, then he has to fast. Falyusim. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By this command, that option was taken off. Now every healthy person has to fast. He cannot give the charity and money. Yes, this hukam was remained for the very fragile, very weak people, very old people who cannot bear a burden of hunger for whole day, or those who are suffering from any kind of disease, diabetes or whatever, then that fidya is still continuing for those people. But the healthy people has to fast and they cannot pay the fidya. Initially, the third changing, the fast, when you break fast after Maghrib, after sunset, you can eat and drink and you can enjoy with your wife until you fall asleep. The moment you fall asleep, your next fast start immediately. Then you cannot drink or eat or have any kind of sexual activity with your wife. That was very hard for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. There was no suhoor allowed. Immediately you sleep, your fast start. That was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then some incident took place when Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala was working whole day in the farm, and he was a poor Sahabi. He came home and there was nothing for breakfast. There was nothing to eat. So his wife said, let me go to my neighbors. I'll bring some food for you. You just wait for me. And because he was so tired, he fell asleep. By the time wife brought some food from the neighbor, he was always already sleeping. So he couldn't eat. So he started next fast without eating anything. So now it's 2 days hunger. So he couldn't bear it. During the day, he collapsed, unconscious. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what happened. Rasulullah kept quiet. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat through Jibreel alayhi salam, "Uhilla lakum laylat as-siyabi rafathu ila nisa'ikum," that Allah ta'ala made lawful for you to have sexual relation with your wife on the night of fasting. You can have relation only with your wives. Huh? Make it clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us to eat, drink and sleep with our wives until Subah Sadiq, until early dawn. So that was the third changing took place. Allah Ta'ala made it easy for us. There are many physical and spiritual benefits of fasting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my ummah were granted 5 things that previous ummah never got. Although they were fasting, but Allah SWT did not granted them these benefits, which Allah, through the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatullil alamin, granted us. Number one, the bad smell and odor of the mouth of the fasting person is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the fragrance of the musk. Number two, the fishes in the oceans make dua-i maghfirat for them till they break fast, till sunset. Number three, Allah ta'ala prepares and decorates paradise for them every single day. Number four, shaitan, devil are changed and thrown into the ocean so they cannot interfere with the ibadat of mu'mineen. Number five, on the last night of Ramadan, they are forgiven. Allah forgives all of them who are fasting during the month of Ramadan. So these 5 benefits were not given to previous ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every good deed of the Bani Adam, son of Adam, increases from 10 times to 700 times. One salah, 10 times or 700 times. Except fast. Allah ta'ala said, it is for me and I shall reward it by myself. Yani, fasting is such a great ibadat, even the angels cannot write the reward of it. It's such a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he sacrificed his food and drink for my sake. So I will reward him especially on the day of Qiyamah. And you can just imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself is going to reward, how much will be, how abundant it will be. Today we cannot even imagine. So there is a fixed thawab and reward for every ibadah, except roza, except fasting. There is no fixed reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, will reward abundantly unlimited on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah. The first, the time of, okay. Then in one of the hadith, Rasulullah said, every fasting person will have two glad tidings and good news. One at the time of iftar, and second when he will meet his Lord. In Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants for every nafal deed the reward equivalent to the faraz, and for every faraz equivalent to 70 times more. The first 10 days is rahmah, mercy of Allah. The second 10 days of Ramadan is maghfirat, forgiveness. And last 10 days of freedom from the hellfire. From the first day of Ramadan, all the gates of paradise are open and all the gates of the hell is closed. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi said, there are three categories of fasting people. Number one are general people who stay away from early morning till sunset by eating, drinking and sexual desire. This is common for everyone. One level of the fasting. Another group, they keep the fast of the limbs of the and organs of the body. Meaning, they stay away from drinking and eating. On top of that, they protect their eyes, their tongue, their ears, their hands and their legs from committing sin. So if you look into a wrong place or if you speak the wrong word, your roza, your fast will break. Meaning you won't get the full reward. Although, you know, categorically, you will regard it as a fasting person. You won't have sin. But the full reward of sincerity and ikhlas, you're supposed to get by abusing your tongue or misusing your eyes or ear or committing sin, that reward will cut off. So this is the second category, fasting with our all limbs of the body. And the third, which is very, very difficult and hard, is even in your mind and heart, there should be no other thought than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning from the morning till evening, you should only think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If any other worldly things enter in your mind, in your heart, your fast will break. That's how strict it is. And this is only the fasting of Anbiya alayhim salam. They can do it. Or Siddiqeen, very pious people, they can, after exercise and controlling their nafs and desire, they go to that stage that even they don't even think of anyone whole day except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us also among them. Hazrat Umar bin Abdulaziz rahmatullah, a great personality, he said, what is the taqwa? The main purpose of fasting is to adopt the taqwa and piety. He said, what is the taqwa? He said, taqwa does not mean just staying hungry and thirsty during the day and spending night in the ibadat. He said, the real taqwa and piety is to refrain from all unlawful things and fulfill all the obligatory acts. Stay away from all wrong things and fulfill all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real taqwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever doesn't quit a foul talk or bad action, Allah doesn't need that he must leave food and drink and stay hungry and thirsty. Fast become compulsory to make us pious, to value the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciate it. Ramadan is the heart of the year. It's very important, brothers. Pay attention. Ulama said, Ramadan is the heart of the whole year. The way you spend month of Ramadan, rest of the 11 years will pass in the same manner. If you spend Ramadan in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give tawfiq to extend all 11 year, months. And if you don't take care of Ramadan, then rest of the 11 years also you're going to disobey and commit the sin. May Allah forgive and protect all of us. Imam Rabbani Mujaddid Al-Fisani rahmatullahi said, in Ramadan, so much mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend in one month that the rest of the 11 month cannot compare to that one month of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said the example of one drop compared to the whole ocean. There is no comparison. The whole 11 month is just like one drop. And the month of Ramadan is just like ocean full of water. So that's why it is said, if a person miss one day of Ramadan, he did not fast for some reason, right? And after that, he want to recompense and fast whole year. He will not be able to get the reward of that one day missing during the month of Ramadan. There is no compensate for it. He's gone and he's lost forever. That's why Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam And he cursed upon a person who found the month of Ramadan, and yet he did not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen upon it. So this is the very important pillar of Islam. Brothers and sisters, we should try to fast during the month of Ramadan. Last and final pillar is Hajj and pilgrimage. Hajj also was common from the time of Adam alayhi salam. He built the first Kaaba, then it was taken away at the time of flood of Nuh alayhi salam. Then it was rebuilt by Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam with the assistant of his beloved son Hadrat Ismail alayhi salam. So when Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam completed the building of Kaaba, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, your house is ready. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to announce, to make announcement of the Hajj. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ دَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Proclaim to the mankind for the Hajj, they will come to you on foot and on the every lean camel, they will come from the every deep and distant mountain highways. So Hazrat Ibrahim salam asked, Ya Allah, there is none here in this desert who will hear my proclamation. There is no human being except me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Your duty is to proclaim, and it is upon me to take your voice to the people. So according to one riwayat, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam stood up on Maqam Ibrahim, where is the Maqam Ibrahim is doing today. And according to another riwayat, he stood up on the Jabal Abu Qubais, the nearby outside little hill next to the Kaabatullah, Jabal Abu Qubais, the mountain of Abu Qubais. He stood over there, and then he proclaimed. So when he proclaimed about it, he proclaimed the invitation for the Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taken his voice into the whole world, even in the world of the soul and ruh, alam arwah. So those lucky souls who heard this proclamation of Ibrahim al-Islam and replied to it by labbaik allahumma labbaik, labbaik allahumma labbaik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure before he die, he will perform the Hajj. Because he already responded in the Alami Arwah. If a soul is responded one time, he will go for Hajj one time. If he responded several times, multiple times, that many times, Allah will grant him tawfiq to go for Hajj over and over again. So, Tawaf, the Kaabatullah is such a thing that Tawaf is taking place 24/7 throughout the year. People are there making tawaf of the Baytullah. And the Baytullah is built on Makkah Mukarramah, but it is said it's all the way to the seven heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built Baytul Ma'mur, the Kaabatullah of the angels, where every single day 70,000 angels are making tawaf of Baytul Ma'mur. And once they make tawaf, they cannot get second chance. They only get one chance in their whole life. So every single day, new, 70,000 angels are making tawaf of Baytul Ma'mur on the seventh heaven. And the Kaabatullah is all the way to the down to the earth, on the seven earth, all the way to the down. That's why when person is in submarine or in under the water, he can also pray Salat facing the Qibla. Because Qibla is not only in Makkah Mukarramah, it's all the way down to the earth and all the way up to the seven heaven. That's why if you are traveling through the air and there is no Kaabatullah, you can see physically, but there is the line of the Kaabatullah. You know, that's why we have to face the Qibla. Even you are in the air or even you are in the ocean, same Kaabatullah will be found over there. So Hajj is for us once in the lifetime, no matter how rich a person is. Our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 4 umrahs and only one Hajj, which is a farewell Hajj, Hajjatul Wada. And the Hajj becomes for us on the 9th year after Hijrah. Little history, but there is no time to go in detail. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah between the Quraysh and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place in 6th year after Hijrah, but they broke the treaty, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam attacked on them and conquered the Makkah Mukarramah in 8th year after the Hijrah, 630 CE. After conquering Makkah, the next year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat that you must perform the Hajj for sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. This ayat was revealed in Surah Al Imran. So, according to the logical way, Rasulullah should go in the same year when ayat was revealed. He should follow the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in ninth year, when this ayat was revealed, Rasulullah did not go for Hajj. He made a group of the Sahaba, and he made Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala as the leader and Amir of the Hajj. And he went with this group from Madinah Munawwara, Jazakumullah khairan. And then he performed the Hajj on ninth year without Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the reason for that? In ninth year, still the Quraysh and Kuffar used to come every year to perform the Hajj. And they used to make tawaf of the Kaaba naked, without clothes, because they used to believe this is the holy place and we are committing sin in the clothes. So they used to take off the, how stupid they were. They used to take off the clothes and in naked, you know, way they used to perform the tawaf of the Kaaba. Rasulullah didn't want to do that, to mix up with them. Right? So they're supposed to cut off their ears and eyes and private parts, committing sins with their limbs, not with the clothes. But they are stupid, they were. Anyway, so in ninth year, Rasulullah said, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is Amir of Hajj. He performed the Hajj in his way, and Kuffar and Mushrikeen also were doing their tawaf and whatever ritual they were doing in from the Ayyam Jahiliyyah. Then, officially, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq proclaimed, make the announcement that from next year, no kafir and mushrik will allow in the Makkah Mukarrama, in the haram of the Kaaba. They were forbidden to enter into the hudud al haram. That proclamation was clear. From next year, no kafir mushrik would come into Makkah Mukarrama. And that proclamation, and that is still continued. Meaning, in this Haramain Sharifain, the Muslim, the non-Muslim are not allowed. Until today, they are not allowed. So then next year, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make arrangement, and he went with the whole group. It's about 124,000 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went with him, with all the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and they were very big, group of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum performed the Hajj, and that was the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he showed practically minute detail of how to perform the Hajj. And that was his last Hajj he performed. That's why it is said, you can only perform the Hajj once in your lifetime. That is compulsory. If a person goes every year, it's up to him. Allah is going to give him, but that will be regarded as a nafal Hajj. Otherwise, the farad Hajj is only once in a lifetime. Rasulullah said, and it's very grave warning for those, قال Rasulullah مَمْ مَلَكَ زَادًا وَرَاحِلَةً تُبَلِّغُهُ إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يَحُجْ فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَمُوتُ يَهُودِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى يَقُولُ وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. That a person to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that much of money that he can prepare his ticket and expense of Hajj, and yet he does not go. He got the means, financial, but is delaying. So Rasulullah said, Allah doesn't like it, whether he die as Yahudi, as a Jewish, or he die as a Christian. He will not be a Muslim. Because practically, he is denying and rejecting such a great pillar of Islam. Allah subhanahu granted him ability, yet he is delaying because of like, my son, I have to get married to my son, my daughter, this and that. I'll finish this job, then I'll go. I'll finish this job. That is not allowed in Islam. The moment, the Hajj becomes farz, we have that amount like $15,000-$20,000 in today's time. You must perform Hajj same time. That's why Rasulullah said, Man arad al-hajja falyata'ajjal, that whoever wants to go for Hajj, he must do quickly, because he doesn't know he's going to survive or not next year. Who knows? What is the guarantee of life? Then he's going to die without performing Hajj. All other excuses are not allowed and accepted in Islam, except two things. Number one, he should have a physical ability to perform all the arkan of Hajj, Sa'i, Tawaf, Mina, Arafat, etc. And he should have the financial ability. If you got financial ability and physical ability, Hajj is farad upon him. There is no third excuse to perform the nikah of the children or get another business or this or that. This is not the excuse accepted by Islam. So a person who is entitled, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him, he should, no matter what, he should try to perform the Hajj immediately as soon as possible, because the life is very short and we don't know how we are going to end next year or not. So there are so many things to say, but time is not allowing me. So I am ending over here. May Allah grant all of us to practice upon all the five pillars of Islam. And Jazakumullah khairan for your patience and for your presence. May Allah reward all our whatever we are doing inside of Allah. Jazakumullah khairan. And a special thanks for Brother Imroz and his family who cooked the food for today. And all other brothers and sisters and families who brought the food in today's program. May Allah reward them also abundantly. There are some requests of the dua. Brother Imroz, give me this. Mehrul Nisha, the mother of Nasir Khan in Hayward, passed away. Make dua, may Allah Ta'ala grant her Jannat al-Firdaus and all the marhumin. And make special dua for Uncle Dawood Simji. He is in the hospital, is suffering, is in critical condition. Brother Saad, grandma, also in Karachi, is very sick. And all the brothers and sisters who are suffering from any kind of disease and any kind of problem, especially make dua for all of them. May Allah Ta'ala grant them, whether they are in the hospital or at home and suffering from any kind of disease, may Allah Ta'ala grant them Shifa-i Kamila and total cure. Make special duas for the Muslim Ummah who are suffering in Gaza, in Qatar, in flood in Afghanistan, earthquake in Pakistan, a flood also in India also there is a flood. So Ummah is suffering throughout the world. Make special dua for all of them. May Allah Ta'ala remove all these difficulties and hardships and azab, and grant us tawfiq to perform our salat and practice on Islam according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Inshallah, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next program, Family Night, will be on the second Saturday of November, November 15. You can mark your calendar, November 15, inshallah, we will have the second night, Family Night program. And the arrangement, Brother Shakil has taken the responsibility. May Allah grant him reward and ability to make this our program successful. Read Durood Sharif and inshallah we can end. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Mawlana Muhammad wa barik sallim. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد يا ربي ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشفهم اللهم عافيهم اللهم اشفهم شفاء كاملا عاجلا مستقلا مستمرا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانسانا اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. شكل بھائی شوہر صرف دو مرتبہ خوش رہ سکتے ایک تو جب بیوی نہیں ہو اور جب بیوی نہیں ہو میں کے گئی ہو نہیں ہو یا نہیں ہو